This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Moran is the delegate from the 46th District, Northern Virginia, representing Alexandria and parts of Fairfax County, and he is chairman of the House Democratic Caucus. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon to you, Coy. I enjoyed your promo. That was humorous, and that was very nice.
Well,
I enjoyed it.
Never let it be said that I don't enjoy these little sound clips, and I always have a good time with them. Where should we start? Now, you are just back from India, of all places.
Yes, I had a wonderful time. Governor Kane, had scheduled a trade mission to India some time ago, and so I thought that would be a very interesting trip, and so I joined him. Now, of course, because of the tragedy at Virginia Tech, the governor returned from his trade mission and appropriately stayed in the Commonwealth and expressed our sorrow and is working diligently on making sure something like that doesn't happen again. But I was in India, and it was a fascinating trip, and I worked closely with the governor's staff, the Secretary of Commerce, Pat Gottschalk, the Secretary of Technology, Anish Chopra, and several other members of the governor's cabinet were there, and very impressed with the work they did, and think it was a very worthwhile trip for the Commonwealth and its taxpayers.
I recently had dinner with Vivek Kundra, who's formerly the Assistant Secretary of Trade and Commerce for Virginia. He's now working for the District of Columbia. And this was right before y'all went to India. And he said, you would just not believe what is happening in India and what is happening in China. He said, most Virginians, most Americans just aren't aware of how big the boom really is over there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The pages of Tom Friedman's book, The World is Flat, just came to life. India has approximately 1 billion people. 300 million are of the higher middle class to affluent, upper middle class, which is approximately the population of the United States.
Yeah, the educated middle class in India is bigger than all of America.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what that's what we're up against. But at the same time, I think trade missions of this kind develop the relationship that India is not playing for second place. They have lifted their markets now for two decades. In 1991, they went through an economic change and plan they had adopted since the 40s, when they gained independence, was more akin to to Russia as opposed to the United States and capitalism. But in 1991, they had a societal change, significant economic development, and a different influence in terms of, you know, their markets. And because of that, they've just experienced tremendous growth over the last two decades, and it'll only continue. I mean, they have a tremendous amount of brain power, they have resources, and they certainly have people and cheap labor, and so it's something we need to be fully aware of and start to develop partnerships with, and so that we use it to our advantage. They are a natural trade partner. That they speak English for one, which obviously eliminates the foreign language barrier, and they also have a democratic form of government, and they have a court system that is similar to ours. So some of the They, in my opinion, are a natural trade partner, and I was very pleased that Governor Kane recognized that and constituted this trade mission.
And they're asleep. They're awake when we're asleep.
Well, yes. Fortunately, I was awake for about 3 days over there. I did not adjust well. It provided me the opportunity to read books, which with two young children, I sometimes slip on my book reading. But being up for 3 days allowed me to do some reading.
I bet. Now, these trade agreements that were announced and that were were orchestrated and led by the governor's office, these are very significant agreements.
Mm-hmm. Approximately $100 million worth of trade and economic development for Virginia. What we need to do is begin insourcing as opposed to outsourcing jobs. And that's what this trade mission accomplished. We had at least three, if not more, significant announcements from a restaurant deal in Richmond for five Indian restaurants locating in the Richmond area to a steel contract reached in Salem, Virginia. So it was a significant amount of money that this generated. And again, it's relationship building, development, and it's paying off. And so it was a very worthwhile trip for Virginia taxpayers.
Delegate Brian Moran is my guest. He's chairman of the House Democratic Caucus. Brian, what is the deal with offshore drilling in Virginia? It's made some headlines recently. I have not followed it closely, but I've sort of seen it in my peripheral vision. And I know this is something that it looks like it was green-lighted. It hasn't been done for, what, 25 years, I don't think?
Well, you know, it's our search for alternative energy. I mean, people recognize our dependence on foreign oil. It puts us in a precarious situation militarily, and it is our quest to continue energy independence. My concern, it's several, but one of them is just a philosophical concern, Coy, is that here we are creating more supply. We're going to go off the shores of Virginia Beach and drill for oil or natural gas and or natural gas and thus increase supply. My problem is you do that, if we're going to increase supply, we should have a counterbalance in decreasing demand. We need to start conservation. Endless thirst for energy is only going to increase the dangers of global warming. We need to begin conservation in a serious manner. And so I have not embraced offshore drilling yet. I think there are some obvious environmental concerns drilling off the coast. There's some aesthetic concerns. If you're on the beautiful Virginia Beach, a wonderful asset of having the beach, and just aesthetically, whether what these oil rigs or refineries would do to the landscape. There's the recreational boating concern. There's the military concern. As you well know, we have Newport News shipyard and other military installations in the Hampton Roads area that need to be considered as well, the Norfolk Naval Station. And so there's numerous concerns, and I'm hesitant to give a green light to offshore drilling in Virginia. I overall philosophy is that we should have a countervailing reduction in consumption, but then there are some practical concerns that offshore drilling presents.
Delegate Brian Moran is my guest. Clearly, the Bush administration wants this. What is the very latest status of this here in Virginia? Has the governor signed off on it?
Well, there was legislation last year. There was an energy bill that came through last year, patroned by a senator from Virginia Beach, that would allow offshore drilling if Congress allows it, because you have federal interaction here. And right now, I think with the Democratic Congress, there is reluctance to pursue offshore drilling. And so at time being, it has stalled. But as you know, with changes of administration or changes with Congress, anything could happen. And I think Virginia should adopt a policy that we are opposed to it until certain conditions are met. So right now, you know, the answer to your question, I think it is stalled in Congress, and frankly, I hope it stays that way.
Brian, let me ask you, let's say you're king for the day. What do we do about energy? What do we do about this situation, this dependency on oil? We all know at some point, whether it's our children or our grandchildren or our great-great-grandchildren, at some point the oil age, this fossil fuel age will pass. Just as the Bronze Age passed, a new era will come, whether there is political will or not. It's just going to happen. But whether that day comes soon or not, who's to say? You're king for a day. What do we do?
Well, we don't have a monarchy in Virginia any longer, and we fought a war over that. So I'm not going to be king, but I will if I were to be able to lead Virginia, and we've done it in the House of Delegates. We have pursued a course to encourage conservation. We need to reduce our consumption. One way was to require state building to adopt what's called LEED, environmentally engineered buildings. The state should take responsibility and take the lead. I'll commend one of our corporate citizens, CarMax. I just took a tour of their environmentally engineered building last week. It's located in Richmond. And they've used simple techniques to try to reduce energy consumption, one of which they use bamboo floors, very attractive wood, and bamboo is a renewable resource. Bamboo, for those listeners who have tried to eliminate bamboo in their backyard, know that it's very difficult to eliminate it because it continues to grow. And that's a very, I think that's a wonderful, so I commend CarMax. They've taken it upon themselves to engineer a building that will provide for renewable resources and reduce consumption. I think I co-patroned a bill with Delegate Eben last year to require our state buildings to do the same. And until we get serious about this, you know, rather than just rhetoric, we, you know, we're going to continue to go down the path toward global warming, environmental hazards, and quality of life, and air quality and water quality. It's time we get serious about this.
We're talking with Delegate Brian Moran of Alexandria. He's chairman of the House Democratic Caucus. Let's talk politics. Let's talk about the elections this year. All 140 seats in the General Assembly are up for election this year, including your seat. What I find really interesting are the number of Republican challengers. Across the state, we see so many Republicans who are being challenged in primaries.
Right. We don't have any retirement. Well, yeah, all 140 are opposed. All 40 state senators, all 100 members of the House delegates. In the House, we have done our best to avoid any retirements. 2 years ago, we had two retirements in competitive districts, and we lost one of those seats. And our march toward the majority, we can't afford to do that. So we've had an agreement from our incumbents. They're running again. They're running hard. And we have done a tremendous job recruiting. As you know, I've crisscrossed the Commonwealth. I've been in your wonderful city several times. And we have put forward some quality candidates, and I'm looking forward to a very competitive year. You put the players on the field, and then you have to execute. So between now and in November, there will be a lot of hard work, knocking on doors, promoting the message, I feel real good about this year, both in the Senate and the House. Democrats have the wind at their backs.
How do you interpret the fact that we are seeing these Republican challengers, conservative Republicans challenging moderate Republican incumbents?
Yeah, that is as well another dynamic, and that has existed for several years now. As you know, there's quite the dynamic in the General Assembly between what is considered a moderate Senate Republican leadership and a far more conservative House of Delegates, and that is reflected in the Republican Party in Virginia. The 2002, we had referendums in Virginia for transportation referendums. You had some Republicans supporting, some Republicans opposing. The debate over investments in our infrastructure, like education, transportation. In 2004, the Senate supported Governor Warner's education investment, yet in the House of Delegates opposed it until ultimately 17 House Republicans joined Governor Warner and we passed that bill. So that has been going over a philosophical debate within the Republican Party for several years, and it manifests itself now this year in primary challengers. Several of those Senate Republicans have viable opponents. I know Emmett Hanger, in the Shenandoah Valley, has an opponent. Marty Williams down in Newport News has a conservative opponent. They are in tough races. John Chichester, just his seat, certainly a moderate statesman for Virginia, Republican. There are two people, actually four, are running to replace him. he retired. And the moderate won, I think the more moderate, at least considered more moderate, won the primary in that race. So that dynamic has been going on. It's certainly a conservative versus a perceived moderate in the Republican Party, and it's a philosophical debate that continues within the Republican Party.
You referenced your travels across the Commonwealth. We want to let folks know that you will be here down our area in August 2nd, joining a fundraiser for Connie Brennan.
Yes, Connie is one of our stars. She is reflective of the candidates we have recruited. She's on the county board in Nelson County. She's stepped up in public service. She's a leader, a very attractive candidate, smart, articulate, and has a real good vision for Virginia. She's one who has a great deal of knowledge about energy independence and alternative energy. I know she's been working on the switchgrass issue. We need to become innovative and progressive on that issue, on energy independence and conservation. And Connie is someone who I'd love to be able to work with in the General Assembly, so I'm more than happy to support her.
Well, perhaps we can get you in studio when you come our way in August.
Always enjoy it.
We'll look forward to that.
As long as I can hear that promo.
I'll see what we can do.
Don't call me Shirley.
Brian Moran is the delegate representing the 46th District in Northern Virginia, Alexandria, and parts of Fairfax County, and he is chairman of the House Democratic Caucus. Brian, always a pleasure.
Great, Coy. Thank you.
Thanks
for having me on.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, SevillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SevillePodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.